Lucky 44 and 1. I'm, as always, G Bizzle. This is Tempest. And our favorite new segment that we have yet to name is me giving advice.
Yeah, but at the moment we're trawling through, well, I'm trawling through the internet to find either funny, unusual, or interesting agony aunt questions. So today, the first one is a bit hilarious, but also gross if you think about it too long. So, I found this one on the Daily
Notes.
Yeah,
hang on.
I found this one on the Daily Mail.
I'm going to be a giver of life advice. I need to document notes because I have a shit memory. Proceed.
I am a 35-year-old man. My wife has a strange habit of urinating in the tea she serves our guests at home.
What?
Do you want me to re-say that?
No. Wife PT. Got it.
Yeah. She says it gives her a kick. Though I was shocked at first, I have started enjoying it too. In fact, I do the same when making tea for our guests. I've heard that drinking urine is not harmful. Is it safe to continue doing this?
Well, sir, you're starting off strong.
Like the tea.
Yes. So now I'm curious where they're getting their kick from. If it's a sexual kick or a, like, I know a secret you don't kick, or I'm better than you because I'm peeing in your tea and you're drinking my pee. Like, there's so many questions I have. It's from a safety issue. It's not the urine itself is sterile. The vessel from whence it came is not. So there is certainly a risk that you could pass some cooties on to your guests. However, the biggest concern is the motivation for that.
Yeah.
Was it spiteful? Like one of those, you know, a server who's pissed off that you treated them like shit, spits in your soup, whatever. Like, was it spite? Was it sexual gratification? I have 1,000 questions.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, just two. Those two.
See, the kick thing is that I took it super literally, and I thought it was just like there was a tang in the urine that gave the tea a kick. But you I don't know, though, because now you've got me thinking that maybe there was something lost in translation between the two of them. And
well, I don't know, because it could be used. I mean, certainly the word kick could be used in both of those contexts, right? Like, it adds a little bit of extra je ne sais quoi to the flavor profile. And is that a touch of honey? No, it's a touch of my honey. But so there's that kick. But then there's also that, like, is it a kink kick? Is it sexual? Is it superiority? Is it I have a secret?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm starting to think it's one of your ones, because it really isn't a normal thing to do. Like, to get that idea in your head and go through that process, and that her only reason is it gives her a kick.
Yeah, and that's like entendre. It's kind of like, have you ever seen the movie or read the book The Help?
No.
So the maid, who's played brilliantly, is treated like shit by the same child that she raised, is now treating her like shit because it's, I think, 1960s in the South, right? Mm. So when she quits, she makes this woman's favorite pie, but she puts her shit in it. But she, like, so that was her, like, revenge pie. So, like, there's definitely a motivation there, but just to randomly, like, how that takes forethought. Yeah. It's not like in the kitchen she could just, like, squat over the teapot. Like, she had to collect it.
Yeah, somehow in a receptacle.
In there's some sort of receptacle. Collect it and then put it somewhere so that she can then have easy access to it in the kit. Like, I'm back to having 1,000 questions.
Exactly. So many. And I kind of think that how innocent I was as a child, that on April Fool's Day, I made my mum a tea, and then she liked two sugars in a tea. So I gave her two teaspoons of salt, and then she liked it. She was like, that's a really nice tea. Yeah, that was so weird. And now I'm realizing
that's very unusual.
Yeah, my mother's a very unusual woman. And I just think that I was so innocent.
I thought, like, hey, you had something on your shirt and boop your nose was a fun trick. I didn't know the passing around bodily fluids to your guests was the latest thing.
Oh no. And it's
and now he's starting to enjoy it too. I think it's the secret. I think it's that secret that we know something they don't know. We have something up on them.
Yeah, yeah. And it must be like, what must they think of their guests? You know?
Yeah. And did they mention if they put it in their own or is it just in their guests?
That's the thing. It's never specified. She just urinates in the tea that she serves guests at their home. So there's no mention of putting it in their own tea for themselves.
Interesting. Because, I mean, if she's serving it out of a teapot, everybody's getting it out of the teapot. But if she's just giving them individual bags and then pouring the tea.
And a dash of urine.
And a dash of the Old Spice.
Yeah. And I wonder if she, like, maybe kind of eats or drinks certain things to make her urine have different essences or flavors. Like getting sugar puff wee. Do you have sugar puffs in Canada?
We used to. I don't know if we still do.
Yeah.
No, we had sugar smacks.
Oh, okay. Well, these were like little honeycombed bits of wheat or something. Not honeycombed, honey covered in sugar. It's like really bad for you. But what you'd find is that your first wee or two after eating your breakfast, it would smell like sugar puffs.
Like asparagus pee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to research now I'm going to have to research what affects pee tang. That is literally eau de toilette.
Yeah. So their response in the in this Daily Mail thing.
Yes,
this habit is unfair to your guests who do not get a kick from what you are inflicting on them. Please do not. Please do not invite me over. Yes, urine therapy has been done in the past, but it's often done with a patient's consent.
Absolutely. They could probably, their friends could probably successfully sue them for tampering.
But putting bodily fluids in there, yeah. That's like basically
that's
assault.
That's some sort of assault, I would imagine. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they made it come under something like sexual assault or something like that.
Motherfucker, let's find out. It is 100% illegal. It's considered both assault and administering a noxious substance.
Interesting. Oh, I wonder what the sentence is for that.
I guess it would depend on where. But they could bring about criminal charges and they could sue.
Have you heard of the case in Germany of the Metzgermeister?
Of the who?
The Metzgermeister, the master butcher.
No.
So there was a guy who put an ad in the paper or something, or on Craigslist, something like that, and said that he wanted to eat a human.
I think you did tell me about that once.
Yeah, and then because the victim, wanted to be eaten, and they ate him together, it was very difficult to try him for murder.
You know, it really just goes to show that there really is someone for everyone.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Who knew the magic of the internet bringing people together?
Yeah. So here's, I see which one I want to do next, because there's some really good ones here. Oh, okay. Okay, so this one, I don't know where I found this. It's a Dear Deirdre. And because you are a dog owner, I thought this would be a good one to run past you. And also, Gozer is a sex offender.
Do you always talk about you, guy? True, though.
Yeah.
I was changing this morning. He licked my bum. Sneaks up on me. He's looking quiet when he wants to be.
The worst the cats get is they lick my armpit or sniff it. That's the closest they get.
He's obsessed with my armpits. Only in the morning. He tries to nose my arm to get there. It's very uncomfortable. Like, every morning it's like, no, go there.
Yeah. I wonder if it's the salt in the sweat.
Probably. I think that's more like likely where it is.
And also, it's the most like mum smell, isn't it? Or the most dad smell.
It doesn't get any mummier than that, I guess.
Okay, so here we go. My girlfriend, not mine, the person writing the letter. We don't have dogs. My girlfriend insists on having her dog in the bedroom and he sniffs around us when we have sex. It's a big problem for me. I'm 32 and she is 30. We've been dating for a year. I could cope with her dog being in the bedroom at night, but not when we have sex. Her dog sits watching or keeps sniffing around us. My girlfriend isn't fazed by it. I love her dearly, but her dog is becoming a big problem.
Fair enough. On both sides, like, I get that it doesn't bother her because she lives with her dogs and whatever, but like, he's setting a clear boundary that it makes him uncomfortable and she needs to respect it. Like, the dogs don't have to be everywhere. Put him outside, or like, put him in the hallway, shut the door, give them a treat to keep them entertained, and then go about your sexy time business. I mean, I can see from his point of view, if I was dating a guy who had cats, and in the throes of passion, I look up to see buttons staring at me, I'd be very... Yeah, I don't think it's an unreasonable boundary for him to set, and she should respect it.
Yeah. And I think the sitting there watching thing wouldn't make me so uncomfortable, but like, I would find the sniffing around distracting.
It would be a distracting sound. I think the sitting and watching would be weird if like, you just happened to make eye contact at one point. We kicked the dogs out of the room. But when Gozer ate the section of door, he would lie outside in the hallway with his head under the door, and it was weird. And he's my dog. Yeah,
that's so funny. Well, what we find with cats is that like, they clear off like when the throes of passion start. So like oh, fuck this, I don't want to be here for that.
Ew. Yeah.
And there was one time where I didn't realize there was a cat on the bed, right? And it was like, you ever get the time where you just wake up in the middle of the night and then you just have the randiness, and then so you wake your partner up, and then it sounds a bit rapey, but it's not. You do it nicely, not like, oi, service me. But anyway, I didn't know there was a cat on the bed.
I don't have any words for this right now.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a cat on the bed. And then the first I found out the cat was there was in the throes. And then I moved my foot, and the next thing, it hit something. And then there's this...
Wow!
Yeah, wow, thunk. I booted the cat off the bed by accident.
I mean, the cat shouldn't have been there. Once the show began, should have cleared out, found a new seat. So yeah, I think it's a very healthy boundary for him to set, and she should respect it because it's not that big of a deal. Get the dog out of the bedroom and shut the door.
I wonder if he's actually brought it up with her.
That's the one thing I always question, because like, I see a lot of like subreddits and stuff, like relationship advice, dating advice, what do I do? And at no point in these multi-paragraph questions do they ever say, when I talked to my partner about it, this was the response. It's always like, how do I sneakily go about this? Or how do I just talk to your partner? Like, if you're afraid to talk to your partner, then are you really with the right person?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You should be able to talk about anything that's on your mind without fear of repercussion. That's what the point of having your partner is.
And I hesitate to use the word safe space, but if your partnership is not a safe space, then what are you doing in it?
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I wonder, like, if he has left this completely to her. Like, I'm also curious, has he tried to, when sexy time begins, shutting the door with the dog outside? Like, if he has done that and she's like, no, so he has to watch, maybe that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, he can't, if he's not spoken to her about it, he can't assume. Well, maybe they have spoken because he says it doesn't bother her. But that also could have been the dog's here.
That.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So we don't know. Talk to your partners.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks.
So I think most people would want to put, I mean, obviously there's a line drawn where they would put the dog first at some point. But most of the time, people would put their partner first before their pet.
Yeah, and it's not that, like, I would have to wonder if he brought it up and she was like, no, the dog stays here. Like, what is that motivation?
Yeah.
Because it's not a big deal, right? Like, hey, can we keep the dogs outside? I don't really like it. Mm. It's not that big of a deal.
I just wanted to sniff my backside.
I don't want this twosome to become a threesome.
Yeah, exactly. Deirdre says, dogs need rules, boundaries, and limitations, even Absolutely. About where they sleep. Having them in your bedroom at night is not a good idea. I don't agree with that.
I disagree with that, too.
Yeah.
It's a pack, right? Dogs are part of the pack. They want, if they're in the bedroom with you, that's them being part of the pack.
Exactly. You and your girlfriend need to establish your priorities, then get the dog to obedience classes. Your local vet can put you in touch. So yeah, I mean,
she's gone a little bit too far. The dogs don't need obedience classes. You just say outside, Sparky, and you close the door. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. So I think she went in a bit hard there, but you know, let's just hope the dog doesn't do the same.
Because she's commenting, she's making it about the dog, not about the relationship, right? Like dogs, she said dogs need rules, boundaries, and limitations. Your dog needs obedience training. This is not about the dog.
Yeah. It's about
the relationship. She's made the answer about the dog. It's about your relationship needs rules, boundaries, and limitations, and you have set this boundary. It's up to your partner to choose to agree with it or not, and it's a reasonable boundary. Deirdre shit the bed on that answer.
I think I agree with you. Dear Deirdre, I have been sending sexy messages to my mother on a social networking site. I know it is wrong, but it's so exciting. I'm 22 and my dad left us 15 years ago. My mum is 40. I recently went on the computer after her and saw she had been on a networking site. I was curious, so I made up a name for myself and messaged her later from my laptop saying I like older women and found her sexy. She replied she felt flattered. I asked her if she masturbates. When she replied yes, I know it's wrong, but it turned me on. I didn't read this all the way through. She keeps asking for a photo of me, which of course I can't give her. She's now asked if I want to go on webcam with her, and I'm hoping she will let me watch her without showing her who I am. I feel ashamed of what I'm doing, but the thought of seeing her without her bra is amazing. Would it do any harm just to watch her undress and then delete my address and forget about it?
Yes, 1,000 times yes. It is completely harmful. It would do a bajillion times harm. Do not do that thing. Seek psychological help or psychiatric care, because that is not normal.
It's not, is it?
He wanted to catfish his mom, first of all, which, I mean, if his misguided attempt was like, oh, let's give her a little bit of an ego boost that people are interested in her. It's maybe the intention was good to begin with, but it's still a shitty thing to do because you're catfishing her. You're setting her up for failure. Yeah. Then asking your mom if she masturbates and like wanting to see her without a bra, like, I mean, if the dad hadn't gone, this was super edible. But yeah, no, he needs to seek help. I don't know if I would recommend telling his mom that it's him, because that would cause...
That would fuck everybody up.
One would hope
that
it would fuck everybody up versus being like, oh, interesting. I was hoping it was you, because shit's crazy. But yeah, he needs to most definitely delete his accounts, get some help.
Yeah.
He needs therapy. Stat. He needs therapy yesterday.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, his age as well, like being 22, like you've
got enough to know better.
Yeah. You've got to this point where you are now an adult. You should have known that what you're doing in the first instance, even if you have those pure intentions, what you're embarking on is a bad idea. And I doubt his intentions anyway, because of the way that he found out about it and then immediately decided this was a good idea.
Yeah. Like, I want to go see what she's up to, so I'll make a fake profile. Like, why? If, let's say, the roles were reversed and it was my dad. If my dad told me he got onto a dating site and I was curious, I wouldn't create an account to catfish my dad. I'd be like, oh, let's go take a look, Dad.
Yeah.
Right? I would make that a, let's take a look at your profile so I can pick my future stepmom. Like, you know? But to go there immediately, maybe, I mean,
really manipulative.
I'm going down my own, like, making massive assumptions rabbit hole. Like, if the dad left 15 years ago when he was seven, is he an only child? And then he all of a sudden became the man of the house. So he had this feeling of, like, not being son, but also having to be protector and provider because he's now the only man taking care of his mom, and that he spent 15 years taking care of his mom. And now all of a sudden she wants to date again. Well, what's wrong with me? So I wonder if there's part of that.
Yeah, it's a possibility. And this is why he needs help, because he needs to unpick that. Otherwise, his future relationships are going to be based with this as the foundation.
Yes, that's a very unhealthy place to start relationships.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I hope the only answer was two words, get therapy.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Deirdre says. I really like your answer, because after, like, working around troubled people and reading a lot of the research on it, it is like the only answer is you need support, because this is going to fuck up the rest of your life otherwise. So Deirdre says, don't kid yourself it would stop there, so don't even think about it. If you go ahead, the whole situation would get even messier. Your mum is entitled to a private life, so delete your address and don't message her again. Let her think the young man has lost interest. Get out with people your own age and you'll find a nice, sexy girlfriend of your own. I'm emailing you my free leaflet about getting a good social life.
Jesus Christ, she is awful. She is awful. Yeah. She should not be providing advice. Like, at no point does she say, this is not healthy. It's not normal. It's going to fuck up everything. You need to get help. Not go find a sexy girlfriend your own age. No, get some fucking help, my guy. Like that.
Just
deleting your account isn't going to stop it. The seeds of that are already in your head. You need to talk through that with somebody and cover where these feelings are coming from and what you can do to get over them, because you need to have a healthy, normal relationship with your mother.
Exactly. Exactly.
Christ. Deirdre.
This nice, sexy girlfriend that he gets is just going to be a recreation of his mother.
He will find somebody who looks exactly like her.
Yeah, yeah.
He would probably date somebody older who reminds him of his mom, not a 22-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Deirdre needs to be fired. She's terrible. She's terrible.
She's a fucking liability. Dear Deirdre, I am a fan of the online game Habbo Hotel, and after many hours of searching, I found myself a beautiful girlfriend. Just a quick interjection. Do you know what Habbo Hotel is?
No.
Okay, so it's like an online gaming environment in the sort of mid-early 2000s. And then people would create like an avatar and go around this little basic game and hang out with other people. It's all done. It's basically like a combination of Reddit, online chat communities, and like a Pokemon type game, I guess.
So we had something, I think it was called like Second Life or something, where...
Yeah, it's more basic than that.
Okay, but along the same lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And now I have discovered that she has cheated on me. Okay, so he's found this girlfriend. So I'll start it again. I'm a fan of the online game Habbo Hotel, and after many hours of searching, I found myself a beautiful girlfriend. Now I have discovered she has cheated on me. I am 16. I loved my girl. We did everything together, swimming, dancing, exchanging furniture, and she was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Exchanging furniture.
Okay. Oh, gee, it's these virtual environments that just mess with your head, don't they? Then she dropped the bombshell that she has someone else. I was furious. At first, I wanted to kill this other Habbo, but now I am totally depressed and want to die. I hate every second I am alive.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
So he interpreted this online girlfriend as being a real girlfriend.
Yes.
Finds out she's already dating somebody else. Okay. Okay. So, addressing the, I don't even know where to begin with this. First, he needs to get off this game, because it's obviously not doing him any favors. He needs to get off the game, get outside, try to meet some real people, probably seek therapy for some of the issues that he's experiencing, because he is having a disproportionate response to this particular situation. He's also at the same time 16, so he's never, this is probably his very first heartbreak, which makes everybody want to feel that way.
Yeah.
Right, like, the very first time your heart is broke. When my niece got her heart broken for the first time, I had to take 2 days off work. So, so I could see, like, yes, it is a very dramatic response, but when you're 16 and you, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. But he would benefit from learning how to develop some coping skills and how to deal with his emotions in a healthy way. So I still feel like he needs to talk through this with somebody. But also going into it, he needed to have more realistic expectations of what to get out of this game. Like, if you're in this game, you're in a game playing a game. It is not real life. So I think he needs to take a break until he can establish some of those. So I don't even know if it's boundaries or just trying to figure out the game is the game, real life is real life. The two aren't the same space. Or maybe be a little bit more upfront. Once again, we're back to communication. And ask the question, are you my girlfriend in this game only? Or is this, are we going to communicate outside of the scope of this game?
That's a really good point. And I think actually, now that you've said that, it's made me think about it a bit differently. That because when it comes to virtual environments and the same thing as the early stages of a real life relationship, there is a period of a gray area, isn't there? Where you're trying to figure out, okay, so are we an item or, you know, are we exclusive now? And this guy obviously sees Habbo Hotel as life, that he's so invested in this game that for him, there's no distinction between the virtual and the real. Yep. But he's interacting with somebody that does just see it as a game.
Yeah, and they should, that difference should have been, I mean, I don't know if there's anything that she could have done, because we don't know what their conversations were, right? Like, if they've been having conversations and she's never dropped, like, okay, I've got to go, my boyfriend and I, like,
yeah,
how he discovered this is, would it be interesting. But if she was playing it within the game, it's like when I create an avatar in a game, I don't create one that looks exactly like me because it's a game. So
yeah,
I'm going to kind of be a bit more fantasy or fantastical about it. But yeah, he went into it thinking that this is an extension of real life and she likely did not.
Yeah.
Is this Deirdre again?
Yeah.
What's that bitch got to say?
Habbo Hotel is supposed to be a game, a fun network enabling teenagers to take part in a pretend world. It is not real and does not add up to life. If you take it too seriously, you will become isolated. Find ways of meeting real people in the flesh. Which,
it's not terrible advice, but it's also not really helpful advice.
It's only half of the advice, isn't it?
Yeah, like, she starts off pretty strong. Like, this kid has clearly had his heart broken, right? So she's got no empathy for, you know, I understand that this is difficult for you and this is challenging for you. However, it's important to remember that this is still a game, and a lot of people treat it as a game, whereas perhaps you did not. Communicate more effectively up front moving forward, but also try, until you can see it as just a game and entertainment, perhaps try playing Pac-Man. Different. Like, she has the opportunity to give actual substantive advice other than, it's like, she makes it sound like you're an idiot, it's a game, go outside. That's what she makes it sound like.
Which is, like, one of the things that you could probably help him is either to, it's probably to get better at communicating that to people, to find other people that see the game the same as he does.
Yeah. Like, she could have, in the same amount of characters, given him something he can work with and that is actionable.
Yeah.
Find like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
Communicate your desires and your needs up front.
Yeah.
Set some boundaries. Ask questions. Instead, just go meet people. How, bitch? If he.
Yeah. There's a reason why he's on Habbo Hotel and not doing it at the local community club.
Yeah, like, she's giving the, like, have you tried not being depressed kind of vibes in her advice. We need to start a campaign to get her fired. I need to become the new Dear Deirdre.
Yeah. Dear G Vizzle. That's really hard to say.
It is. And I'm a big fan of alliteration, so we need to find a word, a dear or hello or some sort of word that starts with the J sound. No, because it's G Vizzle, not G Vizzle. Although someone did say they thought my name was G Vizzle until they heard me say G Vizzle. My online name, not my real name. That's not my real name. That would be weird.
But there are people that think it is your real name.
They do. I'm thinking, like, because I'm limited in my languages, but we'll need to find a, like, bonjour, G Vizzle. because of the ship.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it. But yeah, she could have given this kid better advice other than it's not real meat people.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's obviously real to him.
Yeah. And that's something he needs to work through. Like her telling him it's not real is probably just going to make him even more depressed. She doesn't even address anywhere where he says he wants to die and kill this guy. Like she.
Yeah. Yeah. He has violent tendencies towards this other person, virtual or not. And the fact that like he sees Habbo Hotel as a real environment. And like, I mean, we've all been there at 16. Like you do get strong feelings like that. Cause like you said, it's you've never experienced anything like it before.
And his body is like, he's 16. His body is filling with a whole ton of emotion. He's in that really weird phase where he's going from being a boy into being a man. His body's doing some weird shit. He's growing, he's developing, he's experiencing everything.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time he's had these feelings. And she's just like, yeah, whatevs, get outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't be angry.
Yeah.
Don't be depressed. And this is the thing.
Work through your anger, work through your, oh my God, there are so many opportunities.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like, it's this. I'm speaking about this about like a dozen episodes ago, I think, something like that. That it's really hard for, I think, for women to understand what testosterone is like. And I think that was a really good example about how he feels towards this other virtual character, the feelings of anger and anguish and wanting to do something visceral to someone else, you know. And then he's 16, so he's new to testosterone.
And it's an interesting point because we see so often so many stories of women being assaulted either sexually or physically for rejecting a man.
Yeah.
And so for women, it's really easy to say like, oh, men just hate women, but not understanding that injection, I guess, of like testosterone fueled. How could you I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I'm angry. And all of those emotions wrapped up at once, it not necessarily, not that I'm defending this at all, necessarily that they hate women, it's that they just don't know how to process the intensity of the emotions that they're having. So they're lashing out. And who are they going to lash out to? Their perceived source of those strong emotions.
Exactly.
Which in those cases happens to be the women. Like the more, this is, okay, I'm going on a fucking rant right now. Buckle up, bitch. One of the things that's been driving me crazy about seeing men when they're talking about like men's rights and the rights that they have lost. And when you ask them for examples of those, they say things like, there's not as many mental health supports for men. Women aren't being drafted. Women are getting child custody in most cases. All of those examples are things that women didn't do, right? We are being blamed for receiving benefits from a male-driven rules and systems because it's men who came up with the draft. It's the majority of judges who are awarding custody are male. And so until we fix that system, nothing's going to get better. So it's not a failing of women and it shouldn't be men versus women. It should be men and women versus these systems that are in place. But one of the things that I think is missing is when they talk about there aren't these mental health supports for men, but then they're pissed off that women get these mental health supports. It's like when we can improve mental health support for women, men will also benefit. If men are getting better mental health support, women are also benefiting. It doesn't have to be at the cost of the other. We need to do it together. I don't know what started that rant, but it is over.
But I think it's a really good point because men could also, like there is some examples of this, but men can do it themselves. Like they can make a club. And then traditionally that's what men have done is that we have like, the working men's club, or we'll have like a hobby society or a sports team. But
even when they say there aren't the same mental health supports for men, but mental health support is not gendered. It's not, a women's only therapist or a man's, it's a mental health professional is a mental health professional.
Yeah.
Full stop across the board. They deal, they will work with all genders. So to say that that doesn't exist is just a failing, like they're not going to come knocking on your door to be like, oh, you need some help. You've got to seek it out. And if you're not willing to seek it out, then you can't blame other people because it's not coming to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's because those kind of blokes, like they struggle to be able to ask for the help. Like you just go to your fucking GP. And if there's a long waiting list, it's because we're all in the same boat and it's not gendered or based on your sex. It's shit for everyone right now.
Yeah. But at least get on a list. Do something. Talk to somebody. Don't just blame the system or blame women or blame therapists or blame whatever for not getting the support that you require.
But I think this is the other thing that that is kind of frustrating me with a lot of men is that, I mean, I'm speaking of super generalities, and it will be different on the individual level, so nobody get your boxes in a bunch. That, like, generally speaking, women like to be able to talk through their feelings and their emotions and discuss it with the people around them, and actually, you know, just kind of vent and rage at the world in that sense and have their friends around them. Sorry, my microphone fell over. And then men like to feel productive and to do something. We need distraction from our problems. We need to feel productive and useful, and we need to feel like we're doing something. So, like, for any man that feels depressed, join a board game club, or like join a rugby team, or join a like a boxing gym or something like that. Like, your mental health will, the chances are it'll vastly improve.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not going to work for everyone, but it'll work for most men.
There was a Saturday Night Live sketch a couple of weeks ago. So one of the new cast members on Saturday Night Live is Bowen Yang, and he's one of my favorites. So in the sketch, it's he's a gay man, and so he's at brunch with his women friends, and he's like, oh, this is what it's like to be friends with the women. They want to talk through this, and they want to do this. They want to hang out. And then he's like, sometimes it's just exhausting. So what do? You get a straight friend. And then it's just him with this straight guy just sitting there, like, playing video games, eating chicken wings, not talking about anything. He's like, watch this. Guy, I'm going to go overseas for 7 years. He's like, and then his male friend, straight friend, is like, cool, call me when you get back.
That's it. Exactly. So
it's like, the friendships are very different. It's like that comedian, I think it was Brian Regan, where he was going golfing with a friend who had just gotten divorced. So when he got home from golf, his wife was like, how's he doing? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is he dating? I don't know. Well, what do you know? He got a new putter. Like, they just, and it's unfortunate, right? But, like, the same kind of men who a lot of them who complain about the perceived benefits that women are getting aren't willing to seek out, right? Talk to somebody. No one's going to come to you if you have these feelings. Don't get into the echo chamber, because I see it on Reddit. There's a guy on Reddit, he's like, who are we supposed to listen to? We can't listen to Andrew Tate, we can't listen to somebody else who's equally toxic, we can't listen to Fit and Fresh, we can't, so who do we listen to? And then, like, there was one, I had to scroll a long time to find that one guy who was like, don't listen to people whose platforms are based on calling women bitches.
Here
are some reasonable people you can listen to, but also talk to your friends, get outside of that group of people your echo chamber, and meet people, talk to people, experience things outside of your comfort level.
Yeah, exactly.
I think people just spend too much time wanting to be safe and wanting to be comfortable and not wanting to expand their, I don't know if it's empathy or their thought process on things, or just experience differing opinions and do so in a way that's non-confrontational. Like, just sit, have a conversation with people without feeling like you need to solve the world's problems. Just try to understand things from somebody else's point of view, and not try to change someone's mind. Just, here's my thought. What's your thought? Can we appreciate, or at least respect?
Exactly.
Even if we don't agree, can we respect each other's opinions and our rights to have some? And as long as your opinions aren't causing harm to yourself or anybody else, then fucking have them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you really get those people that moan about how shit their job is, but they'll never look for another job.
Yeah, but they haven't updated their resume since 1984. Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, just for example, like, actually, when we first met each other, and then we decided, oh, let's do a podcast, and we'd hung out for like an hour and a half before that. And we were like, yeah, let's just fucking do it. And it's like, I think if those guys took on that sort of gung-ho attitude and go like, yeah, fuck it, what's the worst that can happen? You know? And like, could you imagine over the last year, all of that time that we've put, I mean, at this point, we've released 56 episodes. That's 56 hours of us just talking to each other.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And then all of that 56 hours of time, plus all the other time that we have to talk to arrange the podcast and come up with ideas and everything around it, that would just be a void of time. Like, that never would have happened. And then we would have just been carried on in our little lives, just plodding along, doing whatever it was that we were doing. But now, like, we've expanded our horizons, we've learned another person's perspective and see what life is like in another country and things that we wouldn't otherwise have any idea about.
You know? Yeah, and if we didn't just take a chance, because we didn't walk into it thinking it was a it was a life term sentence, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, there are some people that I'm seeing that are like, well, what's the point of dating if it's not going to be for marriage? It's like, but you don't know where something is going to lead. Mm. And not everything has to be forever.
Yeah.
It's like when you leave your house to go to the grocery store, do you pack an overnight bag just in case? No, you know you're coming back. So if you're going on a date or if you want to try, in these cases, like, are these men thinking that if they go into therapy, that they're going to be in therapy forever? You go. You like... Mm. Maybe you don't like your therapist, you find a new therapist. Maybe therapy isn't for you, so you explore another avenue, but don't shut it down until you've actually tried it.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to have this tendency of, if it was a food I hadn't tried before, I automatically assumed I didn't like it. And my husband, when we first started dating, nailed me on this, because he'd be like, oh, do you want... I fucking love asparagus now because of him. He was like, have some asparagus. I don't like asparagus. Have you ever tried it? No. How do you know you don't like it? Well, I guess I don't. Tried it, loved it. So now we kind of, you know, you branch it. I know it's a really simplistic example, but it is just an example of being willing to try something. Yeah. If you don't like it, you never have to do it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I just, in this day and age, with all of the wonderful things in the world, and I know it is shit for a lot of people right now, but there's also a lot of amazing things in the world. And it's so easy to get access to them if you just fucking try and do it, you know?
Yeah, like, in a time in history where we have the most access to knowledge and information, and, I mean, like, even just news, right? I don't want to bring up a COVID conversation. But if we look at, like, the 1918 pandemic, they didn't have the internet or television or any means of being able to communicate, like, holy shit, this is coming. Prepare. So they're blindsided by everything. And if your local doctor didn't know what to do, you were hooped. But now, like, with COVID, we saw it coming. We knew about it 5 months before it made its way over. So, like, people can prepare. People can understand what's going to be happening. Doctors from around the world were able to work together in a way that they've never been able to do before to come up with vaccines and knowledge and share that information. So in a time and space where we have access to the, you know, world's knowledge, how are we still not better at being able to seek support, seek help, reach out? It can be done anonymously. Like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go to your doctor, look them in the eye and say, I need help. You can do it online. You could. Like, there's just, I know, removing any barriers of financial resources or any of those things. But even then, there's lots of opportunities to find support creatively. You can find a lot of free support online. So to not do it is just, it's potentially lazy, a little bit dishonest. Maybe they're fearful. Maybe they're just throwing up a lot of different barriers that don't really exist because making change is hard. And I think that's the one thing. It's so much easier to stay in a job you hate because going to a new job is doing the interviews, getting your resume ready, being disappointed, negotiating salary, learning a new job, learning new people, learning new culture, a new work environment policies or whatever. So it's just easier to stay where you hate.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And it's the same thing, and like why people stay in marriages that they're not happy because hopefully they'll die before I do because getting a divorce is hard, dating is hard. I like my house, I like my friends, I don't want to split everything. Like, it's just easier to be miserable than it is to affect any sort of change.
And actually, that dating thing I find interesting because, like, people never think that, like, well, maybe I should just be on my own. And actually, I wonder if this is part of, like, one of the variables involved why women tend to divorce rather than men, is because, like, women are now more happy just to think, well, I'll just get some cats or dogs and I'll be on my own.
You know, like, when guys make those comments, like, you're gonna die alone with cats, they try to make it sound like an insult. It's like, that's fucking delightful.
It does.
And it's very telling that that is use as an insult because it's what they fear.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if those men didn't think there was anything wrong with being single and having pets, then they wouldn't try to use it as a gotcha, you're going to be single with cats. They're terrified of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they project that onto other people. But I mean, like, if anything were to happen to my husband, I love my life, been together for 27 years. But if anything were to happen, I don't think I would ever date again. Not because like he's ruined me for other men, but because the majority of my life has been spent in a relationship. The time that was out of a relationship, I was a dumb teenager and then a young adult. So I've been to paradise, Chris, but I've never been to me. So it would be a beautiful time to just be on my own.
Yeah.
Like when my dad passed away, my mom wasn't like, oh, I've got to find somebody else's underwear to clean. She was like, I'm never doing another person's laundry again. She's like, I'm just going to live my best life on my own in her little house with her little dogs. And
Yeah. I think if people, even if they're younger, need to take that time after a relationship breakup just to kind of just get to know yourself outside of that relationship. So you get to figure out, like, instead of getting the same recurring problems in every relationship you have, just spend some time figuring out, like, okay, so did they screw up or did I?
Yeah. What went wrong? How did it go wrong? When did it go wrong? What could have done differently? Like in work projects, after big work projects, there's usually like a post-mortem or a post-implementation review, right? We did this project. Well, it went well. It didn't go so well. What are we going to do differently next time? But when it comes to relationships, which is like your biggest life project, it's just kind of like, oh, that didn't work out. Let's get back online. Try something different. Yeah. We don't do enough self-reflection, I think.
Yeah. So on that note, let's get a what the fuck is wrong with you.
Damn. So in our second favorite segment, what the fuck is wrong with you? These are things that we are finding over the internet that make us ask the question, what the fuck is wrong with you? So this one, it's a tweet that says, morgues are even coming out saying some don't hire men. Morgues. This all started. I don't know if it was on Twitter or Reddit, but it's been on both. It all started when certain professionals, either massage therapists or pedicurists, were coming out and saying that a lot of them have rules now where they don't accept men as patients because of the creepy ass men who come in for a therapeutic massage and ask for a happy ending. Or they would go for pedicures and then the pedicurist would look up and see that they had a boner. So these, in all professions, therapists, like mental health professionals, and now morgues. Morgues are saying they don't. And then a lot of the comments were about like, oh, well, that's why they're finding that female Egyptian mummies were in worse shape or more decomposed than males because the families would keep the women after they'd passed at home longer so that they wouldn't be SA'd.
Maybe.
Postmortem. And apparently Marilyn Monroe's body went missing for 6 hours. And there's some sort of conspiracy theory that some people paid to have some alone time with her. Yes.
Wouldn't surprise me. I do have thoughts about this. So the Egyptian thing, first of all, we don't know that that's why they did it. That is just speculation.
It's a possibility.
It could just be to do with the matriarch or the role of the matriarch in the house. And they had a strange relationship with the dead. So there could be different things there.
That's true.
With this morgue stuff, what concerns me about it is two things. One is that there are going to be men who are very good at the job, which are being unfairly stigmatized and discriminated against just by being a man.
Absolutely.
And then we see that with things like nursery workers, primary school teachers, that sort of thing. The second one is that they're going to assume that women don't sexually assault corpses or get necrophilia, because they do.
They do. I'm pretty sure to lower numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
It was just coming off of the thread of like the different industries that have come out to say, like, yes, we don't take on male patients, or we have these stipulations for men and blah, blah, blah. And then this one, like, this was like the nail in the coffin for me of like, morgues. Don't do that.
I think it's what bothers me about the blanket, like, no, we're not going to accept these people, is that there's no effort to understand how to identify the dodgy people. Like, you just...
But how... You yourself have said they're really good at... They're like chameleons. They're really good
at
hiding that. So how would you...
Well, I don't know yet. That's... Because we don't put the effort in. If you
were to ask an interview question of, like, what... Like, let's say...
Well, you just have
to... Hypothetically speaking, a beautiful corpse come in. What are you going to do? Like, they're not going to say, oh, I'm going to put my dick in it.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that, like, because we don't put that effort in society or in research to understand these things, that is a problem. This is where it leads, is because we don't have the answers. I mean, it's fine as a stopgap, but you're also, the women who do have necrophilia, you're not giving them the due consideration and watching them as closely as you should be.
No, because I don't think people assume that women would do it. They just turn a blind eye to it. And like this one is like a hiring thing, so I get it, right? Like, you are cutting a potential, potentially half of the workforce that would be very good at that role. But
it's gender discrimination.
Like, a lot of men then are complaining about the service providers who they're like, oh, you're not accepting men. Why? And then when they say, like, oh, we've had like 5 guys in the past week ask for happy ending, but I'm not going to. Yeah, but they're just not. We're not taking the chance anymore. Like, it's sad that that's where it's come to.
The other thing is with the erection, though, that I think that comes with, in terms of like a bit of, I'm trying to think how to word it properly, because the outright asking for a happy ending, that crosses boundaries. But sometimes you can't help getting an erection. And it might not be, you might not be having any sexual thoughts. Like, there's research on that, where they strap like a band around your penis and then get you to watch or engage with certain things and then measure your penile circumference to see if you're getting any kind of arousal from the stimulus. And it's not even a conscious thing. Sometimes it's something that just happens. And particularly for guys, like, if you focus on it, like, oh shit, I'm getting a boner, it can make it more of a reality and you can't stop it. So it's kind of, I think that society needs to get better at being more open about the dodgy fuckers and understanding them, so that then the normal behaviors like getting an inappropriate erection that you can't help isn't stigmatized, and then men aren't unfairly discriminated against.
The thing that, like, we know that these things happen. And I think we need to normalize that. It's like when I was in grade 9, they showed us this in health class, they showed us these videos and they were called Am I Normal? So they would set up these situations and then it would end with the kid being like, am I normal? And then the adult would come in and be like, yeah, here's why that's normal. And one of them was, this kid walks up to his friend at his locker. I think they're probably like in the 8th or 9th grade. And he's like, guy, I just got a boner in gym class. Am I normal? And it's like, yes, Billy, you are normal. And then it goes on to explain. So we learned that it's normal, but then we
stigmatize it when you're an adult.
We do, because more often than not, when it's seen in public, it's not an accident. It's not an innocent.
Yeah, it's usually forced on us.
When you're sitting on a bus and you look across and some guy's got a hard on, you're not like, oh, it's probably an accidental erection.
On the bus, the
first thought is like, that guy's a creeper.
No, it's because the vibration of the bus, and then it's whacking against your prostate and it gives you a boner. You can't stop that.
You speak from experience.
Yeah, I was 12 once, you know.
Yeah, but these aren't 12-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about these are.
Yeah, but like, this is what I'm saying, though, that like, the more puritanical we are in society towards matters of sex, then the better that the shitty people are at hiding, like why so many sex offenders get jobs at morgues, for example. And then the people who are innocent, they're the ones that get noticed and discriminated against.
But it happens with everything, right? I mean, look at the conversation we were having earlier before we started recording about, you know, trans women in women's washrooms are not the issue. It's men who have malicious intentions who will try to use that as an excuse. So trans women are unfortunately being painted with the same brush as these men who likely would have been following women into washrooms anyway, but now they're feeling like they're doing so in a protected way. So one group is suffering because of the misadventures of another.
Exactly.
Misadventure being not the strong word I was looking for, but the fuckery of another.
Exactly.
And this is the same.
Yeah.
Which is comes back to like those men who are always like, it's not all men. We know it's not.
It's enough men, though.
It's enough men. And if someone gets bitten by a dog and then they're afraid of dogs, nobody questions that. But when we see women are being assaulted constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day by men, it makes us leery of all men. So when men saying it's not all men, it's like, yeah, yes, we know. But we still have to be cautious.
I think it, with the morgue stuff, I'm wondering if part of it is they're marketing the job. And because sex offenders go for vulnerable targets, and you can't get better a target than something that is inanimate and can't fight back. And, you know, and then if they structured either the job differently, the way it's advertised, or they changed who, what works where and when in the job, and there's different checks and balances involved in the employment, they'll be able to better weed out the sex offenders and stop hiring them instead of discriminating against 50% of the population.
Invest in some security cameras.
Yeah.
Have two people working at the same time. Like there's ways around it that don't exclude.
Exactly. Because if it was the other way around, right, you guarantee that people would kick up a fuss about it. But because we're talking about men, people don't want to think in a complex way on this issue. Because the fact of the matter is that as we all know, like most men aren't sex offenders. A small minority are, but that small minority are so vile and so prolific at what they do, it affects 90% of women. There was one guy who was a service user at this place. Like, if he was out in society, he could rack up 200 sex offenses in a day. And that is not an exaggeration. Like, he would just like grope somebody in the street as he's walking past, shit like that.
I think the ones that are the scarier ones or the more nefarious ones are the ones who aren't those full out sex offenders, right? That aren't going to grope you on the street, but it's those men that we see on dates who assume because they've paid for a meal that they are owed something or they've held a door open for. I was listening to an audiobook. It was a fiction, but in it, one of the characters, he said he started to explore the incel community because he felt like he was part of that community. So he started to learn. And then he says, so what he was reading was saying, like, whose fault is it, right? You've done all the right things. You've bought her flowers. You've complimented her. You've asked her out. And she says, no, whose fault is it? Because you've done all the right things. So it's clearly her fault. And they were trying to make it like there was blame to be laid. I don't like beats. It's not my fault. It's not the beat's fault. It's just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. Just because you've done, quote unquote, the right things doesn't mean someone is obligated. But also that he thought, like, Romeo developed an elaborate plan and faked his death for Juliet. Jack let Rose keep the door to herself. Gatsby did a whole bunch of like those men were making efforts. But now in this book, this community, we've come to a place where men are like, yeah, I bought her a $15 bouquet of flowers from the grocery store. And I said, nice shirt. Why isn't she sucking my dick? Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that that's where they think the effort lies or that they're owed something. It's highly problematic.
And the fact that that is what needs to be stigmatized in society is that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a minute left, but yeah.
That was a good place to end it, though.